Learning Sefer Tehillim with the commentary of Ma'am Lois, this is Shir number 37. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD, or for listening to our Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com, where you can listen to hundreds and hundreds of Torah Shurim. And in addition, may the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs, Shimon, and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. We are holding in chapter 72, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Pasuk 17. Yehi Shemo Le'olam Lifnei Shemesh Yanin Shemo V'Yisporchu Vo Kol Goyim Ya'ashruhum. May his name endure forever. May his name be continued as long as the sun. And may peoples bless themselves by him and call him happy. David continues his prayer on behalf of his son Shlomo. May his name and fame endure forever. So long as the sun will shine, may his name be continued and continue to dominate. May all the peoples bless themselves by him, and all peoples call him happy and praise him. The Gemara says that the name of Mashiach was among the things created before the creation of the world. As it says, before the sun was his name, Yinan. The name of the Mashiach means his soul. As it says, similarly, a pasuk in Yeshayahu, I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. Rav said, the world was created for none other than David. Shmuel said, the world was created for none other than Moshe. Rabbi Yochanan said that it was created for the Mashiach. What is his name? In the yeshiva of Reb Shila, it was said that his name is Shiloh. As it says, the staff will not depart from Yehuda, nor the scepter from between his feet until Shiloh comes. It's a pasuk that's found in Chumash Bereishis. In the academy of Rabbi Yannai, it was said that his name is Yinon. As it says, may his name endure forever, may his name be Yinon before the sun. And in the yeshiva of Hananya, it was said that his name is Hananya. As it says in Yirmiyahu, for I will not give you Hananya favor. Others say his name is Menachem ben Chizkiyahu, as it says, for Menachem, that is the comforter to relieve, and my soul is far from me. A pasuk that's found in Megillas Eicha. Thus, Mashiach stands for the first letters of Menachem, Shiloh, Yinon, and Hananya. Indeed, that is the reason he is so named. Pasuk Yudches, Pasuk 18. Baruch Hashem Elokim Elohei Yisrael Oisei Niflois Levader. Blessed be Hashem, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Following his completion of the second book of Tehillim, David blessed Hashem just as he had done at the conclusion of the first book. Blessed be Hashem, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. There is no power in any created thing to change nature. Hashem alone can do so. Our Chachamim infer from here that one for whom a miracle is performed is not aware of the miracle. Rav Yossi expounded, O Hashem, I will give thanks to you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away and you comfort me. A pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. To what does this pasuk refer to? Two men ventured forth on business, but one of them received a thorn in his foot and could not continue. So he began to vilify and blaspheme Hashem. Days later, he heard that the ship his friend had taken sank in the sea. So he began to give thanks and to praise Hashem. Thus the pasuk says, your anger is turned away and you comfort me. Rav Elazar said, what is the meaning of these words of the Torah? Blessed be Hashem, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever, as we will learn in this pasuk and in the next pasuk. It is that the person for whom a miracle is performed is unaware of the miracle. This also means that a divine act can involve both the attribute of judgment and the attribute of mercy represented by Lakim and Yudke Bovke. Hashem alone can do this. Such acts are hidden miracles, and Hashem alone knows about them. At the end of his days, therefore, each person is bidden to review everything Hashem has done for him, beginning with the years of his youthful growth and reaching into his old age. Let him recall every event in fullest detail and tell his children all he knows. He will thus be teaching them to appreciate everything that Hashem will do for them. A very great sage lived in a time when the generation was excellent. All the people fulfilled the three cardinal virtues of Torah study, prayer, and charitableness. Nevertheless, the cost of living was very high, and the population was stricken by numerous epidemics. The much abused Jewish people were especially hard hit, and they suffered the most. The saintly sage could not reconcile himself to the terrible afflictions of his excellent generation. How had Israel sinned for Hashem to have sent such a suffering upon them? He approached a great disciple of his who was then on his deathbed, and they agreed that after his passing, the disciple would appear to him in a dream to inform him of the reason for all this. They shook hands on it, the disciple departed from his place in the other world, and the sage waited out the prescribed 30 days. But the disciple failed to appear. The sage went to his graveside and demanded that his disciple honor his obligation. Immediately, he was overcome by sleep and beheld his disciple in a dream. Know that it is forbidden to reveal things which are concealed in the supernal world. He heard him say, I will only interpret for you this one pasuk spoken by King David. We have thought of your loving kindness, O Hashem, in the midst of your temple. This needs to be understood. Elohim pertains to the attribute of stringent judgment. So why does it say that we expect loving kindness from Elohim? The answer is that indeed this is so in the eyes of God. What in the illusionary world one considers to be an expression of severe judgment and stringent law is understood later upon one's arrival in the world of truth, where truth abides as charitableness and justice. Thus it says, until I will enter the sanctuary of Hashem, and I will understand their end, the ordinances of Hashem are true, righteous altogether. Pasuk Yotes, Pasuk 19. Uvorach Shem Kavoyde Le'olam Yemalei Chavoyde Es Kol Ha'aretz Amen V'Amen. And blessed be He, His glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and Amen. Even as He Himself is blessed, the sources of influences, so His name is blessed. David refers to the explicit name of Shem HaMeforesh. King David prayed for all the needs of the Jewish people until the time of the coming of Mashiach. He prayed for the sick to be healed, for the healthy not to be overcome by illness, for their livelihood to be blessed, for all the harsh decrees against them to be nullified. After the Redeemer comes, all judgments will be abolished and Israel will have no need to pray for anything. All the good things and consolations predicted for the house of Israel by the prophets will then come true. Thus David says, blessed be Hashem, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. The pasuk is found later on in Tehillim. It means that all nations will then acknowledge Hashem as King of the earth, and as a result of the harsh decrees will be abolished. The people of Israel will then no longer need these prayers. This is the intention of the Torah when it says the prayers of David the son of Yishai are ended. When all aims will have been attained and the glory of Hashem is complete, there will be no need for any kind of prayer except praise. Until that time, praise when necessary as a means to rectify man's shortcomings. But once the whole earth will be filled with His glory, the final purpose of man and of the world will have been achieved. Pasuk 20. Kalui Tfilos David ben Yishai. The prayers of David, the son of Yishai, are ended. King David concludes this psalm by declaring the prayers of David, the son of Yishai, are ended. He composed the psalm at the end of his days. Henceforth, only the names of the sons of Korach, Asaph, Heman, and others will be mentioned. The only other time David's name is mentioned is in the Psalm of David. Our sages say that Kolui refers to all the Psalms. They are all David's prayers. The entire Sefer Tehillim is named after David, including the Psalms spoken by the sons of Korach, and by the 10 elders, for he alone is called the sweet singer of Israel, a pasuk that's found in Shemuel Beis. According to this interpretation, therefore, we must say that the present psalm was not inserted in its proper place. If all psalms were listed in the chronological order of their composition, the present psalm would appear last. However, there is no chronological order in this book. This is the view of Rabbi Meir. It means that David composed the psalms and then submitted them to the sons of Korach, who were Levim, to be sung in the holy Beis Hamikdash. Some say because David mentions here the Messianic days, that is the reason he says that the prayers are ended. In other words, he is saying that after the coming of Mashiach, the prayers will no longer be needed. The world and all that's in it will be perfected. The moon will gain its full brightness, and the glory of Hashem will be universally acknowledged. There will be only prayers of thanksgiving and praise. When the Mashiach comes, all the things which David had prayed for will be fully realized. Some explain that the present prayer includes all the prayers of David, since he prays here for the fulfillment of what all his prayers asked for, namely the coming of King Mashiach. When the Mashiach will reign, it will confirm the eternity of the royal line of the house of David. All the psalms and prayers of David plead for the glory of Hashem to become revealed in the world. Thus he said, "Blessed be his glorious name forever." When this condition is realized and his name is widely spoken by everyone, all his prayers will have been fulfilled. Now we go to Perek 73, chapter 73, pasuk 1. Mizmor la'asov ach tov leYisrael elekim levorei levav, a psalm of Asaf. Yet Hashem is good to Israel, so much as are pure in heart. In the present psalm, the singer addresses the question why we find righteous men who suffer and wicked men who live well. The prophets too have addressed this matter, as it says, "Right would you be, O Hashem, if I were to contend with you, yet will I reason these points of justice with you. Why does the way of the wicked prosper?" Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Sefer Iyov also spoke much about it, as did the prophet Habakkuk. The singer responds that all these paradoxes vanish when one enters the sanctuary of Hashem and learns to understand their end. That is to say, all the good things of this world, such as health, tranquility, and wealth, do not last. The only thing that is everlasting is cleaving to Hashem, which is the special quality of the Jewish people. Accordingly, the singer begins by declaring, "Yet Hashem is good to Israel." The only true good is possessed by Israel, who are pure in heart. Similarly, the Medrash says, Hashem said, "Do not be envious of those who commit iniquity. If you have seen that the light of the wicked is brightly lit, do not envy them, for it will be extinguished in the world to come." Thus it says in Mishlei, "The candle of the wicked will be put out." Be zealous only to fear Hashem. Be envious of what endures and never ceases. As it says, "Yet Hashem is good to Israel." The suffering that he brings down upon them is for the good. Hence, David says here, in effect, on the one hand, I address the question of why the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper, but I do so in the firm faith that everything that Hashem does is done for the good. Thus Rashi says, "Although I cry out in protest and consternation and Israel's troubles, I know that Hashem is good to them. It is for their good that he brings evil upon them, to render them worthy of life in the world to come." The attribute of severe judgment, Elohim, is also good for Israel, as it says, "Happy is the man whom you instructed, O Hashem." But for this to be so, a person must be at best righteous, or at least of median merit. Thus the Torah says, "When is the attribute of judgment a beneficence? That is so only to such as are pure in heart. When one is sufficiently pure in heart, it is when one considers the bad as for the good." The singer begins with, "Yet Hashem is good to Israel," to justify divine judgment. Similarly, Yirmiyahu began by declaring, "Right would you be, O Hashem, Why does the way of the wicked prosper? A pasuk that's found in Yirmiyahu. The term ach signifies a reservation. Though I express astonishment at this state of affairs, it is good for Israel. I know the truth that in the end it will be good for the Jewish people. Hashem will be good to them and safeguard the good deeds that they perform. He will also be good to such as are pure in heart from among the nations of the world. Those who cleave to Hashem and suffer for it will receive their reward. Heart refers to thought. If Hashem benefits those whose thought is pure, then assuredly He benefits those whose deeds are good. Then again, the reservation conveyed in the word Ach teaches us, at first thought, the evil that comes upon Israel does not appear to be good. But that is so only because the knowledge that is good is reserved for those who are pure in heart. Others may find this to be a stumbling block and be led astray. Pasuk Beis. Vani kim'at netui ragloi ka'ayin shavcha shurot. But as for me, my feet almost strayed, my steps almost slipped. But as for me, before I came to this realization, my feet almost strayed, my steps almost slipped. I almost stopped following in the way of Hashem. Blessed be He. When I beheld the serenity of the wicked, my feet almost strayed from performing good deeds. My steps were as if washed away from under me. It was as if my feet melted like water and I had nothing to step with. Walking in the ways of Hashem is usually described as the footstepping, as it says in the Sefer Iyov, Job, my foot has held fast to his steps. At first my feet almost strayed, but then I saw that Hashem, even the attribute of judgment, is good to Israel. He is good to such as are pure in heart. Thus it says in Eicha, Hashem is good to those who wait and hope for Him. Lest we imagine that this is true for everyone, the Torah continues to the soul that seeks Him. The good is perceived in accordance with the level of attainment by one's soul. A subtle interpretation says, but as for me, my feet almost strain. For the sake of the little pleasure to be had in this world, my feet almost strain. Had this lasted for some time, I would have kept silent. But it was ke'en, like nothing, the blink of an eye. Accordingly, the heart of those who look to me, shavcha, poured out like water. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3, Ki kenesi baholalim shalom mishorim era, for I was envious of the madmen when I saw the peace of the wicked. The reason for all this was that I was envious of the madmen. I envied the wicked who indulge in the pointless and wanton pleasures of this world, who rob and oppress without concern, yet whom I saw enjoy peace. The term holalim is also linked to muhulot, mixed together. I was envious of the wicked whose ways are a mix of evil, yet who live in peace. When I beheld these madmen who give no thought to this dilemma, the suffering of the righteous and the prosperity of the wicked, I was envious of them. I said in my heart, if only it would not be so that he who increases knowledge increases pain. A pasuk that's found in Kehelis. If only I did not feel pain when I behold the peace of the wicked. Another reading says, I was zealous against the madmen, and I should have exacted Hashem's vengeance upon them. I did not do so because I saw the peace of the wicked. This accords with the teaching of our sages that it is inadvisable to bait the wicked man in his hour of success. Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4, Ki ein charsubois lamosam uvori ulam, for there are no pangs, bonds at their death, and their body strength is sound. The singer begins with the matter of one's health, which is closest to a man's heart. And as the sage has said, there is no wealth like health. He declares, so great is the measure of well-being enjoyed by the evildoers all their lives, to the very day of death, that there are no pangs at their death. Not even in their last hour do they suffer. Unlike the wicked who die in tranquility, those who find parting with life difficult are as if bound to it by strong bonds. For as long as they live, their body is sound and powerful. Another interpretation says, They are as sound as a sturdily built structure, like the hall, ulam, inside the holy Beis HaMikdash. The Medrash says, what does the Torah mean by there are no pangs at their death? Hashem does not hold back the pleasure of the wicked. He gives them everything they ask for. Compare it to a sick man who was visited by his doctor. He took his hand and declared, serve him every food he asked for. Why so? For he's dying. Thus Eov also said, their houses are safe without fear, nor is the rod of God in them. Not a single one of them suffers from eye disease or diseased teeth. Another interpretation says, for there are no bounds at their death. The prospect of death is not enough to constrain them, to keep them from satisfying their lust. The different interpretation says, the wicked are not so strongly committed to life that death should trouble them. They part with it easily, despite the fact that they are healthy and strong throughout their lives. The singer declares, happy is the man who is healthy all the days of his life and who has an easy death. Such people enjoy two benefits. One, there are no bounds at their death. Their souls are not powerfully tied to their bodies. Hence, they part easily from life. Two, their vitality is sound and strong all their lives. For there are no bounds at their death. If death were bound by chains and fetters to prevent it from coming, then it would not be unexpected that their hearts be calm and secure, free of terror. As it is, however, though there are no bounds to keep their death fettered, their body strength is sound. Their heart thought is sound, as if it could never leave its confines. Some explain that Beri Ulam alludes to the two strong men mentioned in Divrei Hayamim, where the Pasuk says that the sons of Ulam were mighty men at arms. Pasuk Hay, Pasuk 5. Ba'amal enosh einimo v'im adam lo yun go'u. In the toil of lowly men they are not, neither are they plagued like other men. Such is the remarkable well-being of these wicked men, that in the toil of lowly men they are not. They do not share in the drudgery of men who work for their livelihood. When others are beset by diseases and afflictions, they are not stricken along with them. The Targum explains they do not toil in the toil like other men, and they do not undergo the suffering that is the lot of the righteous. Then again, the singer protests, these evildoers enjoy not only robust bodily health, but also affluence. Wealth comes to them easily, unlike the others for whom earning a livelihood is as difficult as splitting the Red Sea. Others who acquire wealth through hard work and creative effort may lose it in some bad deal or in war or in an earthquake or in other such afflictions which Hashem sends upon the world. But those people are not plagued at all. In the toil of lowly men they are not. They do not experience the pain of raising children. Toil refers to children. As Eov said, they send forth their little ones like a flock. Neither are they plagued like other men. As Eov also says there, their homes are safe without fear, nor is the rod of God upon them. Another reading says, neither are they plagued with other men. A man sees his comrade stricken by disease and racked by pain, and he too feels stricken and suffers the same pain. But those people are not in any way concerned about the afflictions of their friends. Pasuk 6. Lachain anokasmo gava yatov shis chamos lamo. Therefore pride is their necklace, violence covers them as a garment. Out of sheer well-being they become arrogant, pride is their necklace. They wear their arrogance like a garment, a precious ornament, a piece of jewelry about the neck. The fruits of their violence they wrap around themselves as if it were an ornament. The term shis means an ornament, as in the attire of shis of a harlot and woolly heart is found in Mishlei. Pride envelops them on all sides like a necklace about the neck. Their violence enfolds and covers them. It is the foundation and root of all they have and all they do. They do not conceal their arrogance. It is as if the hand of Hashem could not touch them. They wear it as a necklace about their necks. they enfold violence about themselves as if it were a handsome prayer shawl. Their moneyed wealth covers their buttocks, chaste, and their disgrace. Pasuk Zion, Pasuk 7. Yotso Mechelev Ainemo Ovru Maskios Leva. Their hearts hide bulge from corpulence. They have suppressed the wishes of the heart. The singer describes the excessive fatness of their faces. One cannot see their eyes as if they had left the face. They have suppressed the wishes of the heart. They have acquired every good thing they ever wanted and far suppressed what they may have wanted. Thus the Medrash says they have suppressed the wishes of the heart. Much have you given them, more than what they request. Some would have been content with being governors, and you made them field marshals. Therefore they have become arrogant. The Targum says the texture of their face has changed due to excessive fat. Another interpretation is their eyes bulge from corpulence. They do not have the worries that consume the shape and expression of the face by eating away the fat from the flesh. The Yalkut says rams and fat sheep protrude from them. The rams and fat sheep they consume are located under their eyes, causing them to bulge. The opposite effect, a sign of poverty and hunger, is for the eyes to become sunken. Out of excessive affluence, they develop a passion for the accumulation of additional wealth. They look about here and yonder to make new acquisitions. Figuratively, in their quest for additional fat, their eyes, as if bulge, pop out of their sockets. It is as if the eyes wanted to swallow up everyone. Another interpretation says the end result is that their eyes bulge from corpulence. It is because they have suppressed the wishes of the heart. They have passed beyond what even the imagination anticipates. As it says, he said in his heart, I will not be moved, for in all the generations I will never be in adversity. Lest it be said they rob and exploit in order to eat, because they lack bread. The Torah says here, it is not so. Behold, their eyes bulge from corpulence. Nonetheless, they go beyond the wishes of the heart. They direct their eyes and their hearts towards the wealth of others. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. Yomiku vidabru vero oshet mimoro midaberu. They consume and wickedly utter oppression. They speak from above on high. All their cynical talk concerns oppression. They consume and wickedly utter oppression. Everything they say is about how to rob and exploit people. After having wronged the people, they talk about it boastfully. Their pride and oppressing others come from above. It stems from their arrogant hearts and pride. They rob and exploit their own friends and then wickedly utter that others committed this oppression. They speak in this manner because they want to preserve their honor to remain above. The term Yamiku is rendered here they consume, for it is linked to Hamak, as in their flesh will consume away. Hamak, a possible is found in Zechariah. These evildoers consume the people and then go on to proclaim their oppression in the streets of the city. Publicly, they wickedly utter the oppression which they perpetuated because they believe there is no justice and no judge. The Torah emphasizes that they do not really boast of the benefits they derive from their oppression. They boast of the wickedness, the evil they cause to their victims. Some read Yamiku as related to Yamiku, go deep. They seek out the evil, derived by profound contemplation, and then utter their thoughts publicly without fear and dread. Moreover, they speak on high, they talk against God, who sits on high. Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9. Shatu Hashemayim Pihem Ushonam Tahalech Boret. They have set their mouth against heaven, and their tongue walks about the earth. Words gush from their mouths against Hashem, who sits in heaven. They say that he does not see their deeds. Their tongue walks about speaking evil against the inhabitants of the earth. They begin by bantering frivolously go on to talk against the righteous, and once this becomes a habit, they begin to talk against the prophets. Finally, they come to speak against Hashem and to deny the principles of the faith. Thus, the singer says, they had set their mouth against heaven. What led to this was their tongue, which at first went about talking against things on the earth. They had set their mouth against heaven. They dare think of themselves as knowledgeable about the pathways of heaven. Based on their travels, they also claim to be knowledgeable about all things on earth. Their tongue walks about the earth. Another interpretation says they have set their mouth in heaven, and their tongue walks about on earth. When they have a desire to say bad things about someone on earth, they assert their conscientiousness by declaring they are speaking for the sake of heaven. In fact, their sole desire is to cause harm. Some say that their tongue walks about the earth, refers to those who caused the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Please turn tape over to side B. For they invited the nations to come into the land of Israel. They went from city to city talking about it until in the end they brought destruction upon the Jewish people. Pasuk Yud, Pasuk 10. Lachain Yashiv Amo Halom Umei Molei Yimotsu Lamo. Therefore his people return. He returns his people here, and abundant waters are drained by them. When Hashem's people see the wicked prosper, they return here. Their thoughts turn away from the pure faith, and abundant waters are drained by them. They drink the poisoned waters to the dregs. Some explain an allusion to false beliefs. As our sages have said, you will be exiled to a place of bad waters, and the students that come after you will drink from them. The singer calls man-made ideas, non-Torah ideas, abundant waters. They are kept in man-made vessels and eventually become putrid. Then they are called bad waters. It is otherwise regarding the principles of the Torah, which are denoted by the prophets as living waters, as found in Yirmiyahu. Based on human understanding alone, there is nothing more to be said about why the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer. One can only protest and wail like Eov, like Job, but this is not so according to the Torah. As the singer says, when the common people of Israel see the prosperity of the wicked, they ask the reason for their success, but such as are pure in heart are not exasperated by all this, even though they do not know the answer to this question. His people, of whom the singer speaks, return here to listen to the futile words of the wicked. For they consider themselves to be wise in the ways of Hashem and of nature. The truth is that they will get no more from them than a condensed cupful, one drop from the sea. When the people see that the way of the wicked prospers, they return here. They return to the way of the wicked. The abundant waters, the words of the Torah, which are the fullest wisdom, they consider to be merely water, and they ignore them. Some interpret Halom as in the Pasuk, and Shmuel, behold, the multitude melted away and disintegrated. Behalom. In other words, the masses that heed the counsel of these wicked men will return to their perdition. They will not remain steadfast in their views, neither in heaven nor on earth, neither in this world nor in the world to come. Their counsel is a cup of water filled with poisons. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11. Ve'amru Eicho Yoda. And they say, how does Hashem know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? If Hashem knows the wickedness of those men and the righteousness of the tzaddikim, how does He grant them all His good? As proof, they say that indeed such are the wicked, and they that are always at ease acquire wealth. When creating the world, how come Hashem created this order where the wicked can prosper and the righteous can suffer? How did He consent to this? Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk 12. Hine Eile Rishoim B'Shalve Olam Hisku Choyo.
Behold, such are the wicked, always at ease, they acquire wealth. The singer goes on to describe here the well-being of the wicked. Behold, such are the wicked, always at ease, they acquire wealth. Below he describes the suffering of the tzaddik, found two psukim further. The righteous say, behold, such are these wicked peoples. Yet they are always at ease, and they acquire many possessions and honor. Behold these wicked people who acquired their wealth with ease, without undue labor and effort. If only they had come by their riches through immense toil, it could have been said at least that Hashem does not desire to deprive them of the good that is directly deprived from their efforts. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk 13. Ach rik zikisi levavi v'erchaz benikoyun kapoy. Surely in vain have I refined my heart and washed my hands in cleanliness. I who toil, surely in vain have I refined my heart, purified my thought, and in vain washed my hands in cleanliness by good deeds. For evil befalls me, and am not at ease. The singer describes himself as having been good in matters related to heaven, and upright towards his fellow men. He purified his heart, his mind, and also cleansed his hands. My thought held truth, and my faith was belief in the Creator. The purpose of man's creation is to refine his soul during his lifetime, to become so enlightened that he shines like the stars. But all my striving for perfection in thought and deed was in vain. Pasuk Yudalet, Pasuk 14. Ve'ehi nogua kolayom. For all the day long have I been plagued, and my chastisement came every morning. I who have been good all day long, have I been plagued by those evil men, and my chastisement in their hands came every morning. Another possible interpretation says, every day they come to me with the question, why do the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper? I have become so accustomed to afflictions and to chastisements every morning that this is only the beginning of my complaint. The suffering of the righteous runs counter to the success of the wicked and the normal pattern of the world. Every sick patient has moments when his illness slackens a bit, such as in the morning. But for the righteous it is the other way around. Their main chastisement comes every morning. Accordingly the singer asks, have I then refined my heart in vain? And in vain have I washed my hands in cleanliness? Have I been righteous in vain, seeing that I am plagued all day long, that my chastisement comes upon me in the morning? Pasuk Tesvav, Pasuk 15. Him omarti asapro chamo hinei dor benecho begadati. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I should have been faithless to the generation of your children. The singer continues, they say all these things, but if I had said in my heart that I will speak as they do, I should have been faithless to the generation of your children. I would have considered myself a traitor. If I had probed such questions too deeply, I might have denied, heaven forfend, the miracles and wonders that Hashem had performed for our forefathers. These are established and cannot be denied in any way, and so it would have been nothing less than a betrayal on my part. One sage has offered the following answer to the problem of the suffering of the righteous and the prosperity of the wicked. The Talmud teaches that before a soul descends into this world, it is decreed that the person be rich or poor. It is not decreed that he will be wicked or righteous. It follows that if, for instance, if it was decreed upon a particular individual that he would be poor, and he then chooses to be righteous, he is a righteous man who suffers. Likewise, if a rich man chooses to be wicked, he is a wicked man who prospers. Some explain the singer's words as follows. I will speak thus, if I were to consider this question and the paradox as they stand, I should have been faithless to the generation of your children. Many of the Jewish people might as a result stray to false cultures, and I would be guilty of having sinned and causing others to sin. Indeed, if I only pondered how I might notice, and did not utter this, my thoughts in public, that too would be wearisome in my eyes. To myself it would have seemed that I doubted, heaven forfend, the fundamental principles of faith. overwhelmed by the paradox of the suffering of the righteous and the prosperity of the wicked, I was not capable of telling it to anyone, nor to think it true. Whereupon I said, until I will have entered the sanctuary of Hashem through my contemplation and considered their end, I concluded that reward comes mainly in the world to come. Pasuk Tezayin, Pasuk 16. And when I pondered how I might notice, it was wearisome in my eyes. They solved the problem of why the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper by denying that Hashem knows. I do not follow them. For when I pondered how I might notice, the more I continued to contemplate and muse on this question, it was wearisome in my eyes. The question seemed extremely difficult to solve. That is, until Hashem opened the eyes of my intellect. Pasuk Yitzayin, Pasuk 17. Avoy al mikdashe el ovino lacharisam. Until I entered into the sanctuary of Hashem and considered their end. Those were my thoughts until Hashem opened the eyes of my intellect. That is, then I entered the sanctuary of Hashem, the temple, where the Kohanim, the priests, seclude themselves to contemplate wisdom. I asked them to enlighten me, and then I considered their end. I understood the bad end of the wicked. Another interpretation says, I will have to wait until I enter the sanctuary of Hashem, where the souls of the righteous dwell, and then I will understand their end. I will understand how awful and bitter is the final fate of the wicked. The evildoers will then be punished, and the righteous will receive their reward. According to some commentaries, this refers to the wicked nations. The singer says that the success of those nations is but a prelude for the visitation that divine retribution has decreed for them. However, I will only understand what their end is when I will have entered into the sanctuary of Hashem at the time of the Mashiach. Then again, the singer says, I have considered that Moshe, our teacher, asked this question of Hashem. Hence, it is a very difficult question. Therefore, I will not occupy myself with esoteric matters that are hidden. I will not probe too deeply during my mortal life, but wait until I entered into the sanctuary of Hashem on high. Then I will understand their end. It is indicated that when one is confronted by a difficulty regarding some matter in the Torah, the matter should be studied in the shul, the sanctuary of Hashem. This will bring understanding. Until I will enter into the sanctuary of God in the time of Mashiach, but then the earth will be full of the knowledge of Hashem, as waters covers the seas. The pasuk is found in Yeshayahu, and I will understand his ways. Everything that was understood in the time of the first Beis Hamikdash and in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash will then be understood with greater rank and bolder strength. The pasuk is found in the Chumash Parashas. Then I will understand the end purpose of the suffering of the righteous man and the prosperity of the wicked man. Pasuk Yudches, Pasuk 18. Ach b'chalokos toshis lamo hipaltam nemash shu'os. Surely you will set them only in slippery places. You will hurl them down to ruin and darkness. The singer speaks figuratively about the soul. In the world to come, you will set them only in slippery places. They will slip and fall into darkness and destruction. You will hurl them down to ruin and darkness. David HaMelech, King David, pondered this matter and concluded that Hashem grants prosperity to the wicked in order to make them slip, like sleepwalkers in iniquity whose hearts are not aroused to repentance. Their success becomes their downfall. Pasuk Yotes, Pasuk 19. Eich hoyu lishama kiroga sofu itamu min balohos. How they have become desolate in a moment. They came to an end, they are consumed by terrors. The singer expresses his astonishment at what finally happens to the evildoers. How they have become desolate in a moment. In one instant, they were devastated. They came to an end, they are consumed by terrors. They were cut down by the pitiless avenging angels sent to exterminate them. To what end, then, was all their prosperity in this so transient world? The end, their downfall, will be utterly final. They will never rise again. They will become desolate in a moment. What is more, devastation will come upon them with startling suddenness, as happened to Sanherib and his armies. Thus it says here, and behold, at evening trouble, and before the morning they are no more. A pasuk that's found in Yeshayahu. And as the prophet Habakkuk said, you have crushed the head of the house of the wicked. A parable. The present pasuk may also be explained by means of the following parable. Two partners, both evil men, were passing through the woods and found a fabulous treasure of gold, precious stones and pearls. One of them left for the city to bring back a wagon in which to transport the treasure. On the way, he stopped off at his home and told his wife about the great find. "Why go to the city to hire a wagon and a driver?" his wicked spouse cried. "The driver may well inform on you to the government. Better buy a wagon and horses and bring in the treasure by yourself. I will also prepare strong drink and a loaf of bread which I will lace with poison. Give these to your partner when you get there. He will partake of the food and drink and die. You will then have the treasure all to yourself." The men went ahead, purchased a wagon and horses, and brought along the bread and drink. In the meantime, while he was away, the other partner brought a rifle, and as soon as his partner arrived, he shot and killed him. Joyously, he then grabbed the bread and drink brought by his murdered partner, gorged himself, and died. So it was in the end, they both died, and the treasure fell into other hands. Their wives were widowed, and their children were orphaned. Thus the singer says, "I behold the evildoer so healthy and strong, but that is so only at the outset. In the end, theirs is a terrible fate. I enter the sanctuary of Hashem, open the sacred books, and I understand their end. I find there many verses about it. I discover that they become desolate in a moment. They come to an end. They are consumed by terrors." Pasuk Chof, Pasuk 20. Kachalom behokitz Adonoi v'ir tzalmam tivzeh. As a dream when one awakens, O Hashem, so in the city on awaking you will despise their image. In this world, this transient world, all their prosperity is as a dream when one awakes. Compare it to a man who dreams that he's dining on delicious foods, only to awaken and find his belly empty. In the city where their image was honored, there you will despise and shame them. Others say that the ear means an awakening, a reference to the resurrection of the dead. You will revive the dead, but the evildoers you will despise. The singer depicts the suffering of the soul of the evildoer when it separates from the body. So long as it dwells in the body, it consoles itself with illusions of bodily satisfaction. But the moment the soul departs, it yearns for the delight of spirituality, which it now finds lacking. Accordingly, the singer says how they have become desolate in a moment, as we learned in the previous pasuk. In a single instant, upon exiting from the body with stark suddenness, the soul leaves the light for the darkness. They come to an end. They are consumed by terrors, for the souls are deprived of their accustomed pleasures. Figuratively, the singer depicts the soul as dreaming about all the material things to which it has grown accustomed when it was aware of living inside the body of a human being. In the city, you will despise their image. When they behold how in the city others enjoy their successes at the price of depriving themselves of spiritual completeness, their image, that is the soul, will come to shame. Once it casts off its material mantle, the soul of the evildoer feels disgraced and humiliated. It is as a dream that one dreams, but from which one awakes. In the same imagery, the Torah says similarly, it will even be as when a hungry man dreams, and behold, he eats, but he awakes, and his soul is empty, or as when a thirsty man dreams, and behold, he is faint, and his soul longs for water. So will the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion, a pasuk that's found in Yeshayahu. Pasuk Chof Aleph, Pasuk 21. Ki yischametz levavi v'chol yosai eshtonet, for my heart was in ferment and my reason was stirred. When at first I pondered on these matters, my heart was in ferment, sour and bitter. It was as if nothing tasted good enough to relieve the mind of its terrible confusion. I plunged deeply inside myself in search of understanding. Another interpretation says, when I reach a state of extreme suffering, my heart is in ferment and my inward parts are stirred. I come to realize that it is not possible to cleave to Hashem without suffering. Afflictions are like a ladder. Provided they are accepted with joy, one rises upon the ladder by the performance of mitzvah, and in this way reaches the plane of cleaving. Pasuk Chav Beis, Pasuk 22. And I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. With all my strength of will and with all my effort, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. I served you like one of the beasts, not expecting to be rewarded. I followed you like a beast following its master, as one totally devoid of an independent will. Having shown the futility of the wicked man's prosperity, the singer says here that the afflictions suffered by the Jewish people are not the road to extinction. For Hashem, the attribute of judgment whereby they are afflicted, is good to Israel. Pasuk Chof Gimel, Pasuk 23. But I was continually with you, you held my right hand. Because I was continually with you, by cleaving to you and through serving you, you held my right hand. You were my support until I understood what it meant. You held my right hand as one holds a friend's right hand to guide him in a straight path. Until now, the singer explained why there are evil doers who prosper. Now he begins to explain why there are righteous men who suffer. He says, just as two evils result from the prosperity of the wicked, so the righteous derive two benefits from their suffering. One is that they do not forget their Maker even for a moment, unlike the wicked, who at all times are preoccupied solely with the concerns of this world. Secondly, the afflictions they suffer make them despise the pleasures of this world, and they desire only what is godly. Therefore, when the soul leaves their body, it returns naturally to its source, the longed-for haven. Nothing in existence will hinder this return, for their soul did not establish a bond with physical reality. Pasuk Chof Dalit, Pasuk 24. You will guide me with your counsel and afterwards receive me with glory. When the soul, the glory, separates from the life of the body after my death, you will receive me and will guide me with your counsel towards the etheric world. For better to me is a day in that world than 1,000 days in this world. In the present sequence of Psukim, the singer says, when my heart is in ferment about this difficult question of the suffering of the righteous and the prosperity of the wicked, and I am brutish and ignorant like a beast before you, in matters that touch the heavenly conduct, what do I do? Despite my torment, I am then continually with you. You hold my hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards receive me with glory. I do not murmur after your ways, but entreat you to hold my hand, to be like a father who takes his little son's hand to help him walk in the valley of weeping that is strewn with obstructions. When my spirit will ascend to heaven, you will therefore receive me with glory. You, O Hashem, have created the soul and know her secrets and concealed aspects, what is beneficial and what harms her. So you will guide me with your counsel, and I will be received with a welcome countenance. Thus it says, you will choose and not I. A pasuk in Iyov. Afterwards, after I will have attained the glory that befits my pure soul, you will receive me. If on the contrary I had to walk without this precious glory, what would I have accomplished by all my toil in this world? Pasuk 25. Mi li b'shamayim v'imchol chafatzi b'aretz. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. I so yearn for life in the world of souls that I said, whom have I in heaven but you? Who will grant that I should be in heaven? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. I did not want to share you with anything on earth. I rejected the false faiths that promote belief in the sun or stars. Having noted the first advantage that accrues to the righteous man as a result of his suffering, he now depicts the second advantage. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. Because his soul comes to abhor the matters of this world, there is nothing here to hamper her from cleaving to her Maker. I desire nothing on earth, so whom have I in heaven but you that I should be held back? Pasuk Chavav, Pasuk 26. Kalo she'eri ulevavi tsur levavi vechelki likim l'olam. My flesh and my heart fail, but Hashem is the rock of my heart and my portion forever. Now the singer explains the commonplace fact that many righteous people die without having experienced a good life. The answer, even though my flesh and my heart fail, still Hashem is the rock of my heart and my portion forever. Because Hashem is steadfast like a rock, faithfully to give me alive in the world to come, I will yet behold His deliverance at the time of the resurrection. Having expressed his longing to be in heaven, the singer continues by saying, although my heart and my flesh are the temple of my intellect, they fail. They are obliterated in this world. But Hashem is the rock of my heart and my portion forever. You know that the intellect which distinguishes me from the beast endures forever and is not obliterated. Even as the soul separates from the body, and at that moment my flesh and my heart fail, I do not fear that the fountains of my wisdom will be stopped up at my death. For Hashem, whom I serve, keeps the covenant and His loving kindness, a pasuk that is found in Chumash Devarim. He is the rock of my heart, intellect, and my portion forever. Pasuk Chav Zayin, Pasuk 27. For lo, they that are far from you will perish. You destroy all those who go astray from you. Not everyone who longs for heaven is found worthy of reaching it. For lo, they are far from you will perish and fail to merit going up to heaven. You destroy all those who go astray from you and do not keep up your way. They that are far from you will perish because their souls desire the futile things of this world. You destroy all those who go astray from you. You cut off every soul that cannot cleave to you. Pasuk Chavches, Pasuk 28. Ve'yani kirvas elekim litov shati badonoi elekim machsil esaper kol mal achosechov. But as for me, the nearness of Hashem is my good. I have made Hashem, God, my refuge, that I may tell of you all your work. But as for me, I am different. The nearness of Hashem is my good. I have always been close to Hashem, and that has been my good. What is that good? It is that I have made Hashem, the God of my refuge, and that there is heaven, and I may tell of your works in heaven and on earth. It is a fundamental Torah principle that a human being is incapable of fathoming the works of Hashem and His actions beneath the sphere of the moon, that is in this world. Assuredly then, he cannot know what's in heaven. Although I came to despise the thing of this world, never in all my good life did I expunge you from my mind. The nearness of Hashem is my good always. I trust in Hashem. I have made Hashem, God, my refuge, and in order that I may tell of all your works, I will spread the fundamental principles of the faith that you have conveyed to us through your envoys who speak through the Holy Spirit. Tell of all your works, the sages teach. On the Shabbos, Hashem rested from creative work, but He did not cease from two activities. He continues to cast affliction upon the wicked, and He perfects the good which He awards to the righteous. The success of the wicked is temporary, and the afflictions of Israel do not go beyond affliction. There is no total annihilation. As proof, see how Hashem guards the Jewish people in exile towards the time when they will be redeemed. Chapter 74, Pasuk 1. Maskil la'osav lamo lekim zonachto lenetzach yeshan apcho betzon mar yisecho. Maskil of Asav, why, O Hashem, have you cast us off forever? Why does your anger smoke against the flock of your pasture. Asaph composed this prophetic psalm as a prayer on behalf of those who today are in Golos exile. He foresaw the calamity of the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed and burned, the children of Israel going into exile, there to remain a long time among the nations. In the bitterness of his heart, he cries out, "Why, Hashem, have you cast us off forever? Even if the exile was on account of our sins, why has it lasted so long? Why does it seem that you have cast us off forever? There is justification for our being cast off, but if we consider that Hashem will not cast us off ever, as found in Megillus Eichem, there appears to be no justification for our long-standing rejection. Why does your anger smoke against the flock of your pasture? You yourself and all your glory are the shepherd of Israel, as it says, 'Give ear, O shepherd of Israel.' So why are you not merciful towards the Jewish people?" The singer protests both the length of the Golus, the exile, "Why, O Hashem, have you cast us off forever? And the harsh decrees and exterminations which the Jewish people suffer. Why does your anger smoke against the flock of your pasture?" The Torah says, Maskil, the enlightenment of Asaph. When the Holy Spirit was upon him, Asaph foresaw that he would befall the people of Israel in the future. Asaph was one of the four prophets who protested against the harshness of Hashem's attribute of judgment. Why, Hashem, have you cast us off forever? He poses four questions. One, he protests Hashem having concealed his presence. Why, O Hashem, have you cast us off forever? Two, he protests the exile. How much longer will your anger smoke against the flock of your pasture? A shepherd safeguards the flock in his possession, and we are your possession. We have only one owner. We will continue, Mr. Shem, in our next year. We will repeat the pasuk again, Belinda, in our next year.